and gentlemen, here's a long-awaited book that people are going to be curious about without any shadow of a doubt. It's called Getting Over the X, and it's by Steve Brookstein. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
I'm well. I'm not going to mess about because you're a very straightforward speaking person, according to your Twitter. Why do you hate Simon Cowell so much?
That's loaded because I actually don't really hate him. I play a little bit of a parody role that I've developed over the years on Twitter purely because it was a perception that the tabloid press gave to the public, and early on it didn't seem much point fighting it, and I've kind of done that so that I can maintain some profile while I kind of decide how I'm going to take my career further, because I know I kind of decided to kind of study a little bit of look into propaganda and the way the press works, the way Max Clifford worked, and start to understand why people were doing what they were doing to me, and then working the best way how to play the game, really. Especially when you're trying to fight it, as opposed to just play the game in as much as going along with what they want you to do, which I didn't really want to do.
Why now the book?
I think, well, the main reason was because Max went down. I mean, I think I probably wouldn't have done the... It's 10 years. I mean, coincidentally, you know, Max went down in May, I think it was, and that's what kind of instigated it, with the reasons why he went down as well. Was a major factor in wanting to write the book, more so. I mean, I've always thought about writing the book, but I never thought I'd be able to get it out there. I mean, even now, I mean, the book's just gone to number one in iBooks, in autobiographies. It got to in entertainment in the chart for Amazon, Kindle. It made top 10, and it's 5 days into release, and it hasn't been mentioned in the tabloid media, which I think is fascinating, considering it's 10 years since I won X Factor. Not a mention this year. Every year I get a mention when there's something I've done, Cafe Nero gig, or even that was, you know, wrong, and the way that reported was kind of in a negative, you know, connotations with regards to what went on. But this thing, which is interesting because I've got a new album out and I've got a book, so it doesn't fit the narrative. So it's you know, so I kind of expose that. I expose the tabloid media for what they do, and it's not their fault, because they're just a product of what's happened over the years.
But if Max Clifford's gone down, why would the media not publicise the fact? Surely they would go for it like a ton of bricks, the book.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would think so, but it's not as simple as that, because it is something it's developed. It's now become a culture. There's a lot of pressure on the demands of the tabloid media, financial demands. So there's still some powerful forces within it. You would think nobody in the last, since Max Clifford has gone down, not once has any of the tabloid media and Cal what he thinks of his PR man that he had for the last 12 years being arrested or even getting, you know, convicted. These questions don't get asked.
But you keep asking. Yeah, but you keep asking them on Twitter.
I ask them. Yeah, I ask the questions. I think it's, you know, it's in the public interest. There's a lot of things that are in the public interest that don't get exposed. But it doesn't mean you're. You know, you hate the people. You just want to get answers to it. I mean, I would like to know why, you know, why Simon decided to go a certain way with my career, or you know, as I like to put it, you know, he let the hounds off the lead, you know, and just attacked me and my personality over the last number of years. And it does affect you as a person, and you've got to do what you can. Luckily, I'm happily married. I've got two kids, and but there's other people that I know that have struggled a bit, and they, you know, and you get people talking about depression and things like that, and it can affect you. And I've had my moments, you know, but generally speaking, I'm quite a strong person, and I've pulled through. But it was tough. you know, it has been a tough 10 years.
I'm talking to Steve Brookstein. The book is called Getting Over the X. You just heard Steve say how successful it is already, and it has just happened, just like he said. It's amazing. Aren't there a lot of people in our industry, whether it's Steve, whether it's whoever, go through this? Because that's the nature of the industry.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right.
You're right. There is a nature. There's powerful people, and powerful people want to keep control. And unfortunately, you know, the PR, with propaganda, whatever you want to call it, is a major factor. And, you know, I can't speak for others what they may have had, but, you know, the experience that I had, it could have been avoided. And I probably wouldn't be speaking to you now. I thought, you know, there's a point where I was quite happy to say that, you know, you give me a decent payoff and I'll go away quietly, purely because I wanted peace. I didn't want to get into a public slanging match and fall out with Simon. These were things that no one wants. You don't want to have 10 years of fighting negativity. But sometimes if you are pushed into a corner and you can't make a living, which, you know, you just want to... That's what you want to do. I went into X Factor because I love singing. that's what it was about. And that's what I want to do. I mean, the book, hopefully, it kind of just brings to light so that it allows me to do the jobs that I wanted to do without people having preconceptions by a press that had an agenda, which wasn't really the truth.
How have you constructed the book? Because you've got a lot to write about and you can't have a big, big book. There's only so many words you put in it.
Yeah.
How did you construct it?
Well, what it was, I got a friend of mine on Facebook that said, look, you know, you should team up with somebody. I'd already thought about that, but previous ghostwriters it didn't really work out and they couldn't get the feel. And so I got in touch with a guy that I connected with, and also he had a really good, his name's Tony Horn, if he works in your neck of the woods, he's a broadcaster, and he's also a ghostwriter, and he's done the Rathbone book, and he's done some other good work, mm-hmm. and the other thing, he's worked quickly, and because we kind of thought, you know, we got to get it done, you know, the timing was right, and we spent many, you know, during the World Cup, we're sitting there on the phone talking for hours on end, and then we kind of drafted the book, and we basically took it's on the journey from actually, you know, doing the X Factor through it, you know, just for the whole, you know, from the beginning, so people can see how the show works, what my relationship with this Simon was during the period, as well as, you know, the ups and downs that I had on the show. But I loved the X Factor, and that's why I kind of probably it hurt me more. Was because I gave everything, you know, and because it was the first series, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't aware, like we are today, of the things that go on behind the scenes. You know, that's only come out over the years.
Is it all about the X Factor, the book?
No. It's more about my. I'm a kind of. Pains to talk about what it's really deeply about. It's more about control and manipulation, and that's not only through Simon, and that is through, you know, every I guess the people have all had difficulties. So I think some people will be able to relate to what it's really about.
Steve, if I was to put you in a room with Sharon Osbourne, what would happen?
Do you know what? I've been there. The last time I saw Sharon was at the Brits 2005, and I asked her, and I actually said to her, Sharon, I can never understand why it was you didn't like me, and why you're so rude, and she said, well, I thought you didn't like me, and with her talking recently about her battle with depression and her struggles, I've always felt there's an insecurity thing with Sharon, and this is, you know, she, you know, sort of this, the cosmetic surgery. I think there's this element of not content with herself. So even though, yes, I hate what she did to me and what she said, I try, and even again with Simon and even with Max, you know, I kind of try and see what it is that make people do the things they do. and so that I can't pass those sort of bad traits on to my kids, because I'm, you know, we're all trying to be the best we can. So when people fail, I try and, you know, yeah, I do moan about them and I talk about the show and I'm, you know, but generally part of that's my only outlet. You know, as I said, I can't use the media because I half of it I don't trust of it, I trust, and the other half they don't want to, you know, support me anyway. So I just do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, do my gigs, and now I've done my book. So yeah, Sharon, I don't really hate her either, you know, to be honest.
Now the next room is Louis Walsh, yeah, and you're in there for 10 minutes with him.
I'll knock his lights out. Louis, I've got a different Louis. I think that the difference with Louis is I don't think he has got issues. So Louis, I just think he's got a dark side. So I think that he can be, he does things more calculated. Sharon's got a passion, so she does things without thinking. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of forgive them. It's a little bit like a child. But when you're not, when you're someone like Louis Walsh, I think he does it because he's manipulating. The same way you watch the show, him and Simon are bosom buddies, and they're playing the public for fools, and they're winning, you know. So, but what he did and what he's done in the past, I don't like the man really, and I won't like him, I guess.
Now there'll be a lot of contestants, if they read this book, will relate. An awful lot of people will relate to this book, won't they?
I hope so, and I hope it kind of puts a, you know, because I don't want to put people off going on the show. I just want them to have their eyes wide open. You know, I knew Laura White when she entered the show, and she was a fantastic singer. And I said, look, you know, your best opportunity was to get as far as you can, and if you could walk. If I knew Paul Acaster personally, I would have told him, you know, the week before he went, look, mate, you're getting set up to go. And if I was you, I would walk. You know, because as soon as you can see the signs where the good singers are getting mugged off, that's the time they need to get out of there and have their heads held high. But, you know, it's a tricky show because they will have their favourites. And if you're not one, you could end up looking a little bit like an idiot, you know.
Now, there's a guy who runs the show in a funny way. He's called a warm-up man. He's been there. He was there when you were there. He's been there for an awful long time. His name's Royce. Yeah. We both know Royce. Yeah. What was your sort of relationship with him? And for people that don't know what I'm talking about, this is a man that actually, what you don't see, is he holds the show together while the technical problems are changing things around.
Yeah. I didn't know Royce. I don't remember him from Series 1, even though he was there. He was, you know, he was the one. So he was, you know, he was working, and by all means, that's what he does. So I don't really do much about him. All I know is that when I started exposing the X Factor for what it was, he decided to confront me on Twitter and get a few people behind him, and there's a little bit of cyberbullying going. Well, that's what I would call it, but hey, you know, so I tried to block him, and then there'd be people, because that's the nature of the beast, and you do get people coming back to you. I mean, the history's there, so if people want to see the timeline, they can see it. So now and again, I'd engage, there'd be a bit of banter. You know, he's just the warm-up guy. I don't think he's not really relevant to my story. He didn't write the book.
What would you say to anybody that says you're bitter?
I don't really... Again, that's something else I don't really try and engage in anymore, because that's something that was a narrative that was constructed by Max Clifford. It's a great technique, propaganda, of getting people that are dissenters or people that aren't going along with the official line to get them to shut up. You know, if you've got a disgruntled or an employee that has been wrongly dismissed, you know, the employers will start to look at their performances and start to look at their you know, how many times they were late, and start to exaggerate things. And then, so, you know, we've all got situations. If you've had a girlfriend that's dumped you, but it's because she dumped you for your best mate, you know, the people are going to be able to, you know, and then she starts telling stories about you, you know, people are going to look at that and think, you know, is he bitter, whatever it might be. But sometimes you just want the truth to come out. In my case, yeah, there was a period where I was, you know, extremely angry. It diminishes to being very disappointed, to being a little bit more controlled. I think I'm at that point now where it's just about business. You know, I've got a family, I've got kids. I want people to know what really happened, and when they do read the book, the feedback so far has been great. So, you know, in that respect, I'm winning.
Steve, was this a minefield legally to put together?
No, not at all. Luckily, I've got, you know, things like, you know, emails and stuff that people see. I've contacted their lawyers. I spoke to my lawyers. You know, it's something that I think I don't think the book actually puts anyone in a particularly bad light either. You know, it's just that it's just something that happened. You know, I think, you know, we consider that, you know, Simon Cowell was looking after his brand. You know, I can appreciate that. I was disappointed the way I was treated, but he didn't do anything. You know, ethically, you might say it's a little bit poor, but generally speaking, he's had to look after his brand, and it's now been going strong for 10 years. So he probably looks back and thinks, well, I did the right thing employing Max to take away the rubbish, you know.
Do you think he'll read it?
Who?
Simon.
Simon or
Max?
Simon.
Max has got to read it. He's in prison. He's got nothing else to do.
Yeah, I think Max might read it. Again, I don't think he'll particularly be too bothered now. But with Simon, I tell you what, something is funny is that his brother, this is in the book, his brother approached me, Tony Cowell approached me, he wanted to help me do the book. He wanted to ghostwrite the book.
What?
I know. How bizarre is that?
What?
Exactly. Now, listen, this is not even the biggest story. My book is full of these people. Really. So, you know, I had a meeting with Tony Cowell, and he's recently tweeted to the guy that I did what he's tweeted Tony Horn, the guy that I did the book with, kind of, and so he's kind of. I think there's a good chance that if Simon doesn't read the book, his brother's definitely going to be reading the book. So it is a bizarre story. And I am amazed that no one's picked up on it yet, but I think time will change. It will change. And, you know, I just want, you know, make a little bit of money, go out there, gig again, lose a bit of weight, sing and forget all this nonsense. You know, that's ultimately what I want to do.
So is the book putting it to bed then for you?
I hope so. You know, I do. You know, because I get it so often, say, why don't you move on? And you know what? If I could have trusted anyone in the media to tell my story through a series of interviews, I would have done it years ago. Mm-hmm. But there was a couple of instances where I went to newspapers, notably the News of the World back in 2005. And I just lost faith that I could speak to the media and get my story out there. And I knew I'd have to wait until I was in a position where I could write a book. And it just seemed, when Max, as I said, I've said it before, but with Max going down, I just felt as if there may be a chance people would listen to it.
So what do you want people, when they've read the book, to do when they put it down? What do you want them to think?
Well, I want them to think about booking me for the next birthday party. I just want them to kind of realise, you know, I think it's deeper than just X Factor. For me, there was other, you know, personal issues that I was dealing with throughout throughout my life. So, mm-hmm. I think it's just understanding that we don't always, what we think we know, we don't know. You know, that's why I'm not so quick to judge people. Like, I joke about Simon, Sharon, Louis, whatever, but I try not to judge. As I said, I'm contradicting myself because I've got a preview of what I think Louis Walsh is like from knowing him. But I may well be wrong, and that would be an example of me thinking I didn't realise what Louis's been through in his life, what's made him the sort of man he is now. And I kind of think that's a really important lesson that we should all learn.
How can you buy the book?
At the moment, it's on, obviously, iBooks, Amazon. You know, you can either download it for Kindle or you can buy a hard copy from Amazon. And also, you know, places like Waterstones, I guess, and all the other bookstores, they can all order it in or directly from my website, you know, so that's another good way for me. if they want to buy it from our website.
And what's your website?
Yeah, sorry, stevebrookstein.com. Mm.
Are you pleased with the book?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think about my music, and we really analyse that, and we make sure it's perfect, well, pretty much as perfect as we could get it. But there's no time constraints. But with the book, we did have a limited time constraint. So, I mean, me and Tony, we were working through the night. So, you know, in the time allocated, I think we've got it pretty damn good. Mm. You know, as I said, feedback's been great, but, you know, I always look and I want it to be better. But I think, yeah, I think the story comes across well. And there's not too many mistakes I've made. You know.
Can't wait. Getting Over the X. Steve Brookstein, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks, Peter.